When are you going?
7th of December.
Just in Mayapur or Vrindavan?
The first 3 days are in Chowpatty.
Okay.
And then 1 week in Mayapur, and then we come back and spend the last 3 days in Govardhan Hills.
Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah, I went Chowpatty in 2002. That's when I graduated from university, and then that's the first place we went to. So it was like a culture shock going to Chowpatty, because before then I had never even come to a Mangalarti. in London.
Really?
I'd never even been to a Mangalarti. What about speaking and living in a temple? Then I ended up like, I didn't even know I had to have a shower. You know, I just popped, turned up with my like my towel and all my like toiletry, and these guys like in gumshoes. It was like a culture shock, you know, like. And then they were like, yeah, learning all the different things of living in an ashram, and then waking up in the morning. In Chowpatty, I was so tired. I remember one morning I got into there for Mangalarti and bowed down in front of Prabhupada and basically just fell asleep. I was just down there for about a few minutes. People were thinking like, wow, this guy's really surrendered. Basically, I just fallen asleep. So. Yeah, Chowpatty is an amazing place. It's, I don't know if you know the history of Chowpatty, but previously it was run by another guru who actually left ISKCON. And then in the early, I think it was the early 90s or maybe late 80s, then Radhanath Maharaj took over Chowpatty. And basically at that time there was hardly anyone there, just a few devotees. And then Radhanath Swami really built it up, and over the years through the 90s it became like a huge temple and really prominent in the ISKCON world. And yeah, and then it just grew and grew. So now I think there's like 200 brahmacharis there, thousands of people come on the weekends and stuff. And yeah, so that'll be a good experience for you. Sleep, are you going to just sleep in the temple and everything? Yeah, or you got your own place outside? Or
As far as I know, I think in Chowpatty, we're staying
in the ashram.
Yeah.
Anyway, ashram just means find this place where you can sleep and just sleep there. That's the whole ashram, yeah? So everyone sleeps in the temple room.
Yeah.
They sleep in, you know, you just find whatever spot you can find. So everyone's got their little spot where they sleep, you know? Just roll out a sleeping bag and you just sleep. Gauranga once told me a story, you know, all know Gauranga Prabhu, right?
Mm.
So he used to have his spot on the floor, like right next to Prabhupada. And he would like, every day he would sleep in that spot. Like right beneath Prabhupada's, like his spot.
Mm.
And then one day he came late from a program, and then, because it's dark, isn't it? You can't, so he came into the temple and it was a bit dark, but he could see someone had taken his slot. He's like, that's my slot, you know? Like, everyone knows that. Like, no one sleeps there. Everyone leaves it free. Like, who's this, like, taking my slot? So he goes up to the person and goes, hey, get out of my way, like that. And then as soon as he tapped the person, hey, chalo, get out. The person stood up and goes, this is Radhanath. It's Radhanath Swami. Swami slept there. Apparently, I don't know if this is, I heard this story. You can check with Gauranga when he's there. I heard this story. So he was just teaching him, like, you're a brahmachari, you've given up everything, and now then you get attached to sleeping in a certain spot. Like, what's that about? So he was teaching him a lesson. So. But yeah, Chowpatty is amazing. Like, speak to all the devotees. I think that's the main thing, one of the main things I wanted to tell you guys about yatra and going on pilgrimage, is the main thing is just try and meet as many spiritual people as you can, like good devotees, sannyasis, brahmacharis, even grihasthas, many amazing devotees are there. So just try and learn as much as you can from them and hear from them, hear classes from them. That's like the main advantage of going on a pilgrimage. Try and make all the morning programs, even if you're tired. I guess you're only there for like 12, 13 days or something anyway.
Yeah.
So just go full out, just kind of go for it. And then Mayapur is a very, very special place. Like, every, like for Vaishnavas, three main places are important. Mayapur, Vrindavan and Jagannath Puri. So Vrindavan, obviously, because Krishna was there. Mayapur is spiritual, special for us because Krishna's incarnation, Mahaprabhu, was there. And Jagannath Puri is important for us because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent most of his life in Jagannath Puri, like half of his life he spent in Jagannath Puri. And the form of Jagannath is the form of Krishna in ecstasy, so that's a very special deity. So Jagannath Puri is very special. So each one of these dhams have like their own flavor. So Vrindavan is known as Madhurya Dham, which means the place which is very, very sweet. Jagannath Puri is known as Viraha Kshetra, which means the place where the separation from Krishna, the deepest mood of separation, is very, very strong. And Mayapur is known as Audarya Dham. And this is the reason that you generally go to Mayapur first, before you go to any other place. Because Audarya, anyone knows what Audarya means?
Worship.
That's Archana. Audarya means like compassion, or giving, or being very magnanimous. So Mayapur is the place where it's full of mercy. Mm-hmm. So it's said that, in the Navadip Dham Mahaprabhu, it says that if you even just lie down in Jagannath Puri, it's like paying obeisances thousands of times. So, obviously it doesn't mean you sleep all day. But that's how merciful Mahaprabhu is. That he just sees a little bit, oh, he's lying down, that must mean he's paying obeisances. So you get benefit for that. You know, like... So Mayapur is a place where you can get a lot of mercy because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation of mercy. So in Mayapur, obviously Srila Prabhupada wanted to build the world headquarters of ISKCON in Mayapur. That's interesting. He didn't build the world headquarters of ISKCON in Vrindavan, but he did it in Mayapur. Because for us, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in one sense, is more important than Krishna. Why is that? Because Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. That you will never get to Radha and Krishna, you will never develop love for Radha and Krishna unless you go through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, unless you understand Mahaprabhu, worship him, and take up the process that he's given of chanting Hare Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very important for us. So when you go to Mayapur, there will be many different things. You'll see the place, the tree. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his youth was known as Nimai. Why was he known as Nimai? Because he was born under a ni tree. So you'll go and you'll see that tree that he was born underneath. You'll see the places, you know, many, many pastimes are there where Jagai and Madai got delivered. You'll see the place where Mahaprabhu used to have kirtans every in the middle of the night, Srivasanga. So that's a powerful place. Once I was in Srivas, once I was in Mayapur in January, that's like off-peak time, and I went to Srivasangan. I was just by myself. So I sat in the Srivasangan. So you know, like when you go in the temple room and you see that Panchatattva picture with the black and white tiles on the floor? That picture is depicting Srivasangan, the kirtans there. So I was just sitting there alone and I was just thinking about the kirtans and what they must have been like. And then I was kind of thinking to myself, like, I'm in Srivasangan, like, we should be doing kirtan here. Like, I wish I was, there were devotees, we could do a kirtan. And then 1 minute later, all of these people, Srinivas Prabhu walks in. Please, Srinivas Prabhu, you can sit here.
No, I'll sit on the side. In between, see, I get the mercy of both.
I'm sure I go through the city. We can sit here. So I was thinking, I'm in Srivasangan, that would be an amazing place to have a kirtan. And then, like, a few minutes later, these hundreds of students came in, and I was like, wow, that's amazing. And then one of them came right in front of me, gave me kartals, and he goes, Prabhu, lead kirtan. He wasn't even like, can you lead kirtan, would you like to? He was like, lead kirtan. I thought, like, oh wow, that's amazing. Like, I was just desiring that, and then we just got up and had this amazing kirtan. So, Srivasangan is there, Yogapith, which is where Mahaprabhu was appeared, is there. There's many other significant places there. Next to where Mahaprabhu was born is another temple called Chaitanya Saraswat Math. And that's the place where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's, you can answer it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's samadhi is. So that's actually where his body is. So he said that the day before Srila Prabhupada left for America, he went to that place. And he went in front of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's samadhi and he prayed for blessings. That let me be successful in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. So going to the Dham, going to Mayapur is about getting a lot of blessings. Because the thing is, in our life, we're not so strong. You might have noticed. Like, we're quite weak. Like, we like Krishna, we like Krishna consciousness, we like practicing spiritual life. But some days we feel enthusiastic and other days not. Some days we feel like, yeah, I just want to do it. I want to go the full way. And other days we think like, oh, it's Krishna consciousness. These guys are doing the same thing all the time, you know. Maybe there's something new to do. So we're going up and down in our enthusiasm levels. So when we get more mercy, when we get more blessings, then we become more stronger, more steady. We get more taste. And that helps us to keep going forward. And that's why you're going to go on this whole long mission halfway across the world to Mayapur to basically do the same thing you could do here. But here we are, here's an instrument, here's a madanga, we're going to chant Hare Krishna there. Close your eyes and chant Hare Krishna here. We'll spend like £1,000, go halfway across the world, close your eyes and chant Hare Krishna. You're doing the same thing. What's the difference? But the difference is when you're in the atmosphere, you get blessings because you see the holy Dham is like a cup, and it's like a cup which is filled with bhava. You know what bhava means? It means like spiritual emotion. So there's two places, one is the holy Dham and another thing is a pure devotee. They are both described to be like cups which are full of bhava, spiritual emotion. And these two, the holy Dham and the pure devotee, is said that because they're so filled with bhava, spiritual emotion, if you come close to them, then some of those drops of bhava will also fall on you. So that's the benefit of going to the Dham. That it's not, it's just that by being there, the energy of the place will come on you and you'll get actually a glimpse into deeper experiences of Krishna consciousness. But of course it depends on how serious you are when you go there. And that's basically then brings me to my next point, that when you go there, you need to disconnect from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You need to disconnect from these things. You need to disconnect from the world. You need to disconnect from your old identity and your old network. You can't be going there and just be like on WhatsApp all the time, right? Because the whole idea of going there is that you're going to go into a different space. You're going to say like, for these 12 days, it's just me, Krishna, and the holy name. And if you're able to do that, be a bit more like away from everything, then what will happen is because you're trying to immerse yourself, you'll catch more, you'll get more mercy from there. But if you're there and you're kind of like just thinking about life here, then it's not a waste, it's still good, but you won't get the maximum. So I guess that's the first thing I wanted to say to you guys, that when you go to India, just try to not be like thinking or dealing so much with everything going on here. Okay, yeah, you need to call your mum and dad, let them know. Don't worry, mummy, I'm here. I should give you like 5 phone calls, you know, you won't hear the end of it. So yeah, okay, whatever you need to do, but then don't like go get into it. Don't deal with management or anything you're organizing here while you're there, unless it's really urgent. Just try to go there and just be in a different space. Mm. So when I go India, I usually go in January when no one's there, because I want to get away from everyone. They're like, don't want to see anyone. And what I do is I check my email once every 3 days. You know, Napoleon, he had a policy. He wouldn't answer any correspondence for 2 weeks. And his logic was that most things can get sorted out themselves. And the things that I need to answer after 2 weeks are the things that are really needing my involvement. Don't manage like that. There's an interesting concept that sometimes we're just over-communicating unnecessarily. It's like, it's okay, life goes on, you know? So when I go to India, I get off email, I try to get off this dumb phone. And I just try to say, like, for this time, I'm just reading, chanting, praying, writing, and just absorbing the Holy Dhamma. Then you get more out of it. So I guess those are a few things I wanted to say, that prioritize it when you go to the Dhamma. Speak to as many people, saintly people, as you can. And pray. Whatever you pray for, the Dhamma is known as Chintamani, which means a wish fulfilling. So whatever you pray, whatever you desire in the Dhamma, that Krishna will listen very closely and help you develop that. So if there's something you need to overcome, or something you want to develop, or some aspiration, of course, spiritual aspiration. One time, devotees used to come back from Vrindavan with this t-shirt. I lost my heart in Vrindavan. So once Jai Advaita Maharaj saw someone, he goes, I hope you lost your heart to the right person. There's another romance going on, you know. So, pray. You must pray. Get the mercy. So it's really amazing to go to the Dhamma and get the mercy, you know. But I don't know, Srinivas Prabhu, do you want, all the boys are going, this is Srinivas Prabhu, for those of you who don't know. He's,
absolutely.
He goes down in history, because the first time, one of the times when he went to India, he was so renounced that he went to the Air India check-in desk, and he tried to check in a bin liner. He's like, this is my luggage. You can't check in a bin liner, man. You get that, right?
I don't know.
You can't remember. Very renowned. So Srinivas Prabhu has been a brahmachari for over 30 years. Disciple of Bhaktichara Swami. So all the boys are going to Mayapur for the first time, right?
Yes.
First time.
That's good. get the mercy.
Any advice for them, or anything you want to say about Vrindavan? Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, first time you go, you should just do the parikrams.
Parikrams, yeah.
Understand Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Don't get involved in pujapa.
Explain what pujapa is.
You know, unwanted talk. Unwanted gossip talk. Get absorbed in understanding, chant holy name more. This is going to Mayapur, but now
just Mayapur.
So then it's just understanding about Lord Chaitanya's teachings. You can all purchase the Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's nice. I think this volume, 7 volumes, right? So here. And I think it was Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj.
You might smash your weight and get on the...
Jay Pataka Swami told, I think Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, right? This is when he was an atheist, right? Before joining, he said, you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, you see the difference. Isn't it? He taught him like that. So after reading Chaitanya Bhagavat, now he's a sannyasi, he's gone, leader. So... You
don't want to become a sannyasi. Don't reach out.
Because of mercy. And then, absorb the dharm, you know. Get absorbed in the dharm. Absorb the energy.
So there's two biographies of Lord Chaitanya. Well, many biographies of Lord Chaitanya, but the two main ones are Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is 17 volumes. Prabhupada translated that. And the other one is Chaitanya Bhagavat. So when you go to Mayapur, the reason Srinivas Prabhu is saying Chaitanya Bhagavat is because that biography focuses on Lord Chaitanya's first 24 years of his life. Lord Chaitanya lived for 48 years. So first 24 years he lived as a householder in Mayapur. And then the second 24 years, last 24 years, he lived as a sannyasi, and he was based mainly in Jagannath Puri at that time. So when you're in Mayapur, a lot of the pastimes, all of the incidents that you hear about in Lord Chaitanya's life is all explained in Chaitanya Bhagavat. So you can read that, it's all in Bengali.
Well, they're trying to English now. English,
right? Yeah, it's all in English. A bit rusty on the Bengali. So this is an important point that, you know, you actually see the holy Dham not through the eyes. If you try to see Mayapur through the eyes, or you try to see Vrindavan through the eyes, you won't actually see the Dham. All you'll see is, my God, like, there's like, you know, toilet on the floor, and, you know, like, pollution, and rickshaw drivers, and some guy trying to rip you off, and there's no way, you know, there's nothing good to eat, you know, and he said, chips, you know. You just see everything very externally, you won't appreciate. So therefore, if you really want to see the Dham, you have to see it through the ears. How can you see it through the ears? What that means is, when you hear the pastimes, when you hear from devotees relating what happened in Mayapur, then you will actually develop a vision. And in the Chaitanya Bhagavat there's a verse, Adyapiha Sheilila Kaha Gauraroy Kona Kona Bhagyavan Dekhi Balapoy. In this verse it said, Adyapiha Sheilila Kaha Gauraroy, that Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are going on even today. Kona Kona Bhagyavan Dekhi Balapoy. But only if one is very, very fortunate, he'll be able to see. So Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta, once in the middle of the night, everyone was sleeping, and then he woke up, he goes, everyone get up, get up, Lord Chaitanya's party is moving by, the Sankirtan party is coming. Everyone's like, middle of the night, man. Like, so they all ran out of the door, and like, it was completely quiet, there was no one there. So then they came in and they said to Bhaktisiddhanta, like, Bhaktisiddhanta said, you didn't see? The whole Sankirtan party had gone by. You didn't see them? They're like, no, we didn't see them. He said, they are there, but you're not fortunate. You cannot see. So the point is, the more you hear, actually more of the Dham will reveal itself to you. Amazing things can happen in the holy Dham. And the most amazing thing is that Krishna can reveal himself to you. And maybe not necessarily Krishna or Lord Chaitanya will appear in front of you, but what he will do is he'll start communicating with you more, telling you messages. If you go in a class in a holy Dham like Mayapur, and you go and you pray to Krishna before the class that, Krishna, please give me all the answers, please give me the guidance I need, then you know what? In that class, Krishna will, through the speaker, tell you everything you need to hear. It will give you all the messages you need. So hearing is very, very important. So those are some things. I don't know if any of you have any questions or any things you want to ask.
So as you know, that these spiritual things are really highly potent. What's the right mood we should have while entering those dharms, or while we are staying there as well?
What's the mood in which we should enter and while we're staying there? So the mood is that we are coming to the Dham to get purified, to get inspired, and to deepen our relationship with Krishna, Mahaprabhu, like that. So the main thing is that we are realizing that me being here is just so that I can purify my heart. So we don't go there to enjoy. We don't go there to necessarily, do any business or anything like that. We don't go to try and have a good time. You know, generally when you think of a holiday, you think, okay, guys, we're going to have a good time, you know? So yeah, you will have a good time in Mayapur, but we're not going to have a good time. We're going actually to purify our heart and get inspired. Because if you purify your heart and you get inspired, then that will bring you a type of happiness that will be much more than just a pizza in Govinda's or whatever. So go there in the mood that I've come here to get purified. I've come here to get inspired. I've come here to change my heart. Because when we look inside our heart, then we see, I have so many material desires. I still want this, I still want that. I know none of it's going to make me happy, but I still want it. So we go to the holy dharma and we say, Krishna, please purify my heart of these material desires which divert me from the real happiness. So I think that's what I would say.
They can play from the 24-hour kirtan what Prabhupada started, right? You know, the bhajan putti.
Yeah, in Mayapur there's a hut there. As soon as you enter the Mayapur, you'll see there's a hut, a mud hut. And that was the first building in Mayapur. And now in that mud hut, a 24-hour kirtan goes on. So you'll see right next to that is the whole TOVP. You know, TOVP, that's the new temple, the huge one. So when they started building that, they said to Prabhupada, now we're building this, we can knock this down. Prabhupada said, no, keep it there. Because I want everyone who comes to Mayapur to see that this whole project began from one person sitting in a mud hut. And in the future, people will come here and see that mud hut and then see the whole TRVP and see that by Mahaprabhu's mercy, anything can happen. By Mahaprabhu's the impossible can become possible. So when you go to Mayapur, you can go to that mud hut. You can do the kirtan there. All of you can go and do a kirtan. As soon as you enter in the gates, it's right on the left. You'll see everyone knows it. It's the mud hut.
Jalgoni Tardeti is
Yeah. So go to purify your heart. That's the main thing. Get inspired. Anyone else? Any questions or anything you want to ask?
Are there any particular spiritual activities you should maximize upon? Anything in particular that is especially would be a good
special? Obviously, the main things are obviously chanting, reading, going on parikrama, as Srinivas said. One thing there, if you can get into it, it would be really good, is just get into the early mornings. So Mangalarti is at 4:30, but you could wake up at 3 o'clock, you know. And you could do like 1 hour of chanting before Mangalarti. Experience what that feels like. Experience, you know, one day, try it out. Do 64 rounds. Have any of you ever chanted 64 rounds in one day? What's the most rounds you've ever chanted in a day? 30? 20?
32. 15.
Going. Try it one day. Boom, all of you together. Or maybe 64 if it's a push, 32. If you do 64 rounds, you know what I do? On the day before I'm leaving Mayapur, you know what I do? In Mayapur, you got four very special places. You got Prabhupada Samadhi. You got Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Samadhi. You understand the word Samadhi? What a Samadhi means?
No.
A Samadhi means when a great personality passes away, then what they do is they put their body into like a tomb and then they bury that. So like Prabhupada's original Samadhi is in Vrindavan where his actual body is. But then we have another Pushpa Samadhi which is like flowers from that tomb are brought here and then we establish like another one. So a samadhi means basically where the personalities, their bodies are entombed. So So in Mayapur, you've got four places. You've got Prabhupada Samadhi, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Samadhi, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, his spiritual master, his Samadhi, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his Samadhi. So you've got these four. So you know what I do before I go? The day before I'm leaving Mayapur to come back to London, I do 16 rounds in front of all four Samadhis, every 64 rounds. Takes about 8 hours.
8 hours? 16 rounds.
16 rounds take 2 hours, no?
Yeah, 2, 4, 6. Yeah. Oh, you also, there's a Bhakti Paramahansa, you have another method.
Yeah.
You can take rest early, get about 2. Between 2 and 7, you chant. He does 48 rounds between 2 and 7. Then 16 join the day.
Then 16 join the day.
Early
try
hours,
out one day.
Early hours of the best.
You know what happens when you chant 64 rounds? Like, the first, like, 20 rounds are like, oh my God, this is like, it's difficult, yeah? Because you know what happens when you do like 16 rounds? By the time you're at about 4 rounds, you're thinking already like, okay, 12 to go. Alright, 10 to go. It's not so far, so you're immediately counting down. Yeah. But when you know you're going to do 64 rounds, you're like, 50 to go. 49 to go. Like, oh my God, just forget the number, man. I may as well just chant. And then what happens is, because the number's so far away, you think, I'm not even going to count, man. I better just start chanting. And then you actually forget about the numbers. And then you know what happens? You get to like 22, 28, 34 rounds, and you're just like into it, just like... Like, you get into it. It's an amazing experience, actually. It is austere. Like, the mind will be like, oh, man, is this all I'm going to do all day, you know? Did I pay £1,000 on a ticket just to sit here and actually... No sightseeing, no, like, you know, I'm sitting here in one place, like, trying this mantra, you know? I feel like I've got a waste of money. But you get a lot of mercy. So try it. Do something like that. If, I don't know how many rounds you all are chanting, but, you know, try and do one day where you do, like, 4 or 5 times that number. So if you normally chant 4 rounds a day, just say, like, one day I'm going to do, like, 25 rounds. And if you're already chanting 16 rounds, you just say, one day I'll do 64 rounds. And you know what? After you've done 64 rounds, the next day you'll wake up and be like, 16 rounds. That's peanuts, man. That's nothing. You can do it. It won't be such a big thing. So you break through. But yeah, do stuff like that. Go swimming in the Ganga. Be careful, though. Don't drown. One devotee was in Ganga, and then he was drowning. Anyway, somehow he was drowning, he was underwater. And then somehow one devotee pulled him out. He was here from London, the guy that was drowning. And then they asked him, like, there you were, man, you were in Mayapur, you were in the Ganga, like, that would have been, like, what a way to leave the world, like, so he goes to the devotee, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? Like, while you were drowning? And he goes, you know, like, while I was trying to breathe, so, like, these bubbles were coming out, and as I saw these bubbles, all I could remember was... mild green fairy liquid. So that advert. Yeah. That advert still. You know that fairy liquid advert. I don't know if you've seen that, but there used to be an old advert. It was like fairy liquid.
Yeah. The washing machines in London with cows on.
So he was like, "Oh my God, is that what you remembered at the time of death?" You know. Yes, thank God you didn't leave your body. But Ganga is, you have to be careful, because what happens when you go, are you all good swimmers?
Okay.
If I'm not a good swimmer, be careful. Yeah, because what happens is when you go into Ganga, it seems like very like calm, like the first few meters. But then what happens is when you get in, there's an undercurrent.
Mm.
It's like, but it's an undercurrent, so you can't see it. But it's like underneath it. So people go in, there's like, hey, take a picture, a selfie, this, that, and then boosh, the undercurrent comes. And if you can't.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had another brahmachari once. He was like, he went into the Ganga. And like, he had just gone in, and then he starts going, oh, I'm drowning. Like, he starts shouting. And like, just put your legs down, man. Yeah, go to the Ganga, go to the temples, spend a lot of time in kirtan.
Are they just staying in Mayapur?
They're going to Chaupati, then Mayapur, and then they're coming back to Eco Village.
Okay. Okay, that's good. Who's taking them?
Then they're going, they're Kishan's coming with you, right?
Kishan and Bhagavatananda.
Oh, Bhagavatananda's going to be. Yeah, and there's so many devotees we look after.
Oh, no, okay, I'll check. Then you're okay, yeah. Very nice.
Yeah. What's the like nightlife like in the temple?
evening programs like. So,
yeah, I meant the evening
programs.
The 24-hour
theater. Few good clubs around. But more than the nightlife, it's the early morning life. Yeah.
So that was my next question. Yeah. So are we more discouraged to like not attend the evening programs there?
Yeah. I'll balance it. You know, if there's some big kirtan going on, inspiration, then yeah, get it. You know, do it. But yeah, get some early mornings in. So get a bit of both in. Like, yeah, sometimes there may be sannyasis, Indradyumna Swami or Lokanath Swami, they do like a big kirtan, it goes on a little bit late. So yeah, do that for sure. But yeah, get some early mornings in there. And get some good rounds in, you know, try and get a taste for chanting. If you get a taste for chanting, then spiritual life will be much easier.
How do we, this is a question from Krishna, how do we associate with great souls there?
Well, Krishna says, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanilastattva darshina. That basically when you meet a great soul, three things you have to do. First is pranipat, which means be very submissive. Try to hear from them, try to observe them, try to humble yourself in front of them. And then, when you meet a great soul, pariprasna. Prasna means a question. So pariprasna means to ask many questions. So ask them questions. You know, like, what's the nightlife like? Perfect question. No, it's a good question. Ask good questions. Ask questions that are going to help you to advance in spiritual life. That's important. And then sevaya. So do some service. And try to serve them. And practically, if you can serve a great soul, serve residents of the holy dham, that's a nice thing to do. So one day you can all serve the devotees prasadam or something like that. That's very nice. You know, we go to the dham, not just to, as I said, we're not going to enjoy, but we're going to purify and serve. So you can go like that and do something.
When are they going?
You can go to the Goshala, for example. In Mayapur, there's a beautiful Goshala. Go and do some seva for the cows. Watch out, though. Dangerous.
Any instances?
Yeah, when I went last time, someone got knocked.
Oh, really?
You have to be careful a little bit. But, go and do some seva for the cows, that's very nice. And also, maybe one day when you're in Mayapur, you can go to Bhaktivedya Purnaswami's Gurukul. So try and schedule that in, they'll take you on a tour. You see this Gurukul, it will blow your mind. It's like everything that you see, like the Vedic way of living. And you can also, every morning, I think Maharaj Bhaktivedya Purnaswami does a class there. So one day you can go and hear his class. Anyway, be careful, man. He might like pull you up and ask you a question in front of everyone. And be on your toes.
Did you go for his class?
Yeah.
No, I did. Did he pull
he's
you
very,
up?
He's very, he didn't pull me up, no. A very amazing person, like a scholar. Classes, very deep classes. So yeah, you can hear from all these people. And anything else in Mayapur you should do?
Well, one thing I did when I went, I was looking for this book, Prema Vibharta. This is mentioned in Jeva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur Kaushik's book. And he said, anyone who reads this book will get Krishna Prema. It's a small book. So you can,
it's a small book, small and book. You get Krishna Prema. Prema Vivarta, yeah, this is a book about the history of many of the Vaishnava saints.
No, it's about Jagannanda Pandit.
Jagannanda Pandit wrote
it. Relationship with Lord Chaitanya. So by reading his book, and at the end he gives the glories of the holy name. So you can understand the importance of the holy name, how to chant it.
We're visiting on the schedule we've got the Namadeep Islands, or at least a few of them, we would go to, I think. But is there, while we're visiting these islands, is there anything that we should meditate on, keep in mind? Or
so you know how Navadvip is structured. Nava means nine and Dvip means islands. So actually, if you look at Navadvip, they're not nine islands. They're not like island means completely surrounded by water. So they're not islands in that sense. But it said they're islands in the sense that each one of them represent one of the nine processes of devotional service. I don't know if you know this, but Prahlad Maharaj explains there are nine processes of devotion: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, all of those things, yeah, hearing, chanting, serving. So each island represents one of those processes. So the main thing when you go to all these places, I don't know if you managed to get it, but there's like different books on Navadvip and the nine islands and the meaning behind each one. Mm. So as you go, like in the morning, before you go to the place that you're supposed to go to, just try and spend like 20-30 minutes and read up a little bit on that place that you're going to. There's one day you may go to Godrumadvip. So then read about Godrumadvip and what happened there and what the significance of it is, so that when you actually arrive there, you're already in a devotional state of mind and you can understand it better. I think that's the main thing. As I said, you see the Dham through the ears, through reading and through hearing. So that's the main thing.
Yeah, so my question was more about the mood that we should have when we're returning from these holy Dhams.
Mm.
So I've heard from devotees that some of these places that we live in, the living conditions are a bit slightly austere.
In India.
Yeah. Mm. So my question was, what can we do to become more detached to physical ease and comforts when we come back home after having stayed in this austere
environment? Yeah, Will, you can come in if you like. We're talking about India.
You sure?
Yeah, jump in. You can just turn the light on as well.
Hi, everyone,
this is Will. He's also going to India. I was actually going to tell Janik, you know, if he could come.
Any others?
That's fine. No, that's cool. So all the boys are going to Mayapur. You're going to Vrindavan?
No, Mayapur and Puri.
Mayapur and Puri, okay. So you'll be there as well. When are you going?
I'm going on the 6th. 6th of December.
Really? You might be on the same flight.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah.
Where are you flying into? Calcutta?
Yeah. And then from Calcutta to Bhubaneswar, and then Bhubaneswar to Puri, and then from Puri to Mayapur.
Who are you going with?
It's Bhakti Charaswamy's Yatra.
You're going on the Yatra with Bhakti Charaswamy.
Yeah, which is why it's even more frightening.
No, that's a good thing.
But
is there anyone from here that you know?
Krishna Arjun Das.
You're going with Krishna Arjun? Yeah. Oh, then you'll be fine, yeah.
Okay. Everyone will be the same. What's
the name? My godbrother. He does an evening shift.
Gohuchandra?
No.
Okay.
He's also going.
Alright, that's good. Well, you'll see all these guys in Mayapur as well.
Nice.
Where they're
going to introduce you to the nightlife. So we were just, there was just a question here about how to deal with the austerity of India. India is known as Tapo Bhumi. Bhumi means land and Tapa means austerity. So India means the land of austerity. Whatever you do in India to try and make comfort, I'm telling you, man, it just fails. I usually go to Vrindavan in January and it's cold, yeah? So last time I went to India, I thought, that's it, man. I'm taking like 3 heaters with me. So I took so 3. Dylan came with me. So he took the 3, actually. I delegated that service to him. Anyway, we arrived in Vrindavan. First, I plugged the heater in. Boom, just melted out the plug straight away.
Okay.
I was like, okay, 1 down, 2 to go. Next day, I plugged in the other heater. Boom, I took the whole generator down in the whole building. Short-circuited. Like, no one had any power. 2 down, 1 to go. And then the last day, the third day, I just thought, you know what, I'm not even going to put this in. I'm just going to tolerate it. And then I realized what I was learning was that in India, especially in the Holy Dharma, what the Holy Dharma is doing is helping you to overcome your mind and your senses. You know, like a lot of our need for comfort is not like necessarily a real practical need. It's just a mental thing. It's not like we don't need it, but it's just the mind. The mind is like, no, I need it, I need it, I need it. So when you're in a place where you have to do austerity, then what that helps you to do is develop mind control. And actually, by going through that mind control, you actually become much more stronger in all of your aspects of spiritual life. So India is a good opportunity to embrace austerity. So yeah, it is difficult, otherwise it wouldn't be austere. Like, of course it's going to be difficult. But actually, if you see that that austerity is actually going to make you stronger, it's going to make you less dependent on external situations to feel okay. It's going to make you more more able to deal with uncertainty and all that stuff, then embrace it, you know, and take it. And
actually, one of my god, you know, Krishna Arjuna's father, mm-hmm. The Prabhupada disciple, right? When he went to Ujjain, this before we had the temple there, he saw this one yogi. This is hot, like the summer season. He lit a fire around him. He was in the middle of doing austerity, and he told the devotees, the other brahmacharis, he said, what you're doing is much more higher than what he did. Chanting Hare Krishna is the most austere thing. What he did is very significant. Mm-hmm. So if you can get more into chanting, you'll find the other austerities will become less. You get strength to overcome.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. That one thing that will help you to overcome all the austerity and all the lack of facility and all of that stuff is if you get absorbed.
Yeah, this is fun.
If you're absorbed in something higher, then you don't see the problems, you don't see the discomfort, you know, like going to get absorbed in Krishna. Mm-hmm. You know, like I always tell the story about the people who were complaining that the lift was too slow in the building. They're like, this lift is too slow, it takes ages to get to the 50th floor. So they came to the owner and said, can you do something, sort it out? He goes, yeah, leave it with me, I'll call the technician in. So next day what he does is he doesn't call a technician, he just gets his brother to come in and put a mirror in the lift. And like 1 week later everyone was like, brilliant, that technician did a great job, you know, that lift is going so much faster. But the fact of the matter was it was the same lift, but because they were in the lift looking at the mirror, absorbed in themselves. How do I look, you know? looking absorbed in their own. You know what it's like when you're in the lift. Of course, none of you get absorbed like that. Like people, when they see their own image, they could just stand there watching for hours and time passes, you know. So nothing had happened, but because they got absorbed in their own image, they didn't see the problem anymore. So that's the power of absorption. So when we get absorbed in chanting, absorbed in reading, absorbed in soaking up the atmosphere, getting the mercy, then it's like, okay, there's a few bugs, there's a few this, a few snakes in my body.
Snakes?
Yeah,
and he can kill you.
No, they won't harm you. Just take my mantra chest, they'll leave you alone.
There's no that. Get a few rats in India. You know. Yeah, really, it's not so bad. Not so bad.
So after coming back from this trip, how should we look to change ourselves and behave towards other devotees and other friends or family, or I don't know, how do we change us, our like student life coming back from this trip? Would it
change
us?
That's a big question. I mean, the main thing is this, like Mahaprabhu said, his most important teaching, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, your advancement in spiritual life will be proportionate to how closely you follow this instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what's that instruction? That one should be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer respect to anyone and not desire any respect for himself.
Mm.
If we develop these qualities of humility, tolerance and respectfulness towards others and a complete absence of false ego or pride or arrogance, if we come back not needing to be the center of attention, not wanting to always give it the big one, you know, like, to put it in urban language, you know, then that's what's going to make the biggest difference in all aspects of your life. So when we go to Mayapur, which is the land of Mahaprabhu, then we pray to Mahaprabhu, you're telling me to become humble, tolerant, please give me the strength to imbibe that humility, to imbibe that tolerance, to learn how to be respectful towards others. Because anyone who's proud, anyone who's like harsh, anyone who's like angry, they will never experience happiness in their life. But when you're humble, it's hard to be humble, not so easy. But when you're humble, actually, you'll experience something much more sublime in your life. So what we want to do when we come back from Mayapur, we want to come back more humble, more tolerant, more respectful, and more absorbed in the Holy Name. Then everything else will be.
Yeah, actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explained this. He explained how we should be humble towards the devotees. Acharya explained humble, respectful to everyone, but you shouldn't be humble towards demons. In other words, people who are not open to Krishna consciousness, you give respect to them,
yeah,
but you don't show your humility towards them in a way that you show towards devotees.
Yes, it is.
The way we express our humility may vary from person to person.
Yeah, so this is the point.
But still, deeply inside of us, yeah.
And the understanding is you have to be like Hanuman to do the linked lotus of Krishna. Like Hanuman of Lord Ram, you know, to build the pistol on. Like that.
Yeah, well.
Two questions. Etiquette, general sort of etiquette and around Bhaktacharya Swami, and then the second thing would be around other sort of, because I'm imagining that quite a few of the devotees on that yatra are going to be, well, I mean, Krishna Arjuna Das's father is one of them, and I imagine there's going to be some other pretty
quite senior people,
senior devotees.
Yeah,
what's
great. No, I mean, you're a very cultured person. You know how to deal with people. I mean, with seniors, there is... the main thing we should be careful of is not to become too familiar.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know... you know, like once you spend a few days, 2-3 days, and then you open up a few conversations, it can become... you know, like, yeah, quite like familiar. So you just have to be careful in that, to always maintain that respectful attitude that, you know, this is someone who's practiced spiritual life for 40 years, you know, like someone like Bhakti Charabhai just, he renounced everything, you know. He's a very great personality. Srila Prabhupada met him when he was a brahmachari, and he said, you've given, you know, we've given so many lives to Maya, now you should just give one life to Krishna. And then Bhakti Charamaraj walked a little bit, and Prabhupada said, oh, and one more thing, don't get involved with any lady. That was it. Prabhupada just said that, you know, one life to Krishna, don't get involved with any lady. And just boom, his whole life he just lived like a sannyasi, you know. So Srinivasa's spiritual master.
Actually, Prabhupada said something else which was quite interesting. Prabhupada says this sex life is very insignificant compared to the enjoyment you get in connection with Krishna. Yeah. The enjoyment you get in connection with Krishna is more unlimited according to the sex pleasure you get. Very significant.
Yeah, like we say, sex life, sex pleasure is the highest in the material world. But it's like, you know, Rochdale United. It might be top of Division 2, but it's still Rochdale United, man. It's not like... they might be in the top of Division 2, but what's so good about that, you know? Like, we're talking about Premier League here. So, yeah, sex desire, material pleasures, it's just a different division, you know? We don't have to get involved in that. Like, we want to know. Thank you. But, yeah, it's just don't, yeah, be careful not to be familiar. And actually, someone had asked about how to relate to great souls. So, three things are important. Pranipat, the Sanskrit word, means to be very humble and submissive. So always remain humble and submissive in front of a senior kind of spiritual person. The second Sanskrit word is pariprashna, which means always ask questions, always be inquisitive. When you're around very experienced people, the best way to have an interaction with them is ask them questions. And the third thing is seva, which means do some service for them, can hold, you know, help them out in some small way. And by doing that service, you develop a closer relationship, but in the right mood. And in that way, you'll be fine. And you know, they may, different seniors may deal with you in a different way. They may come and just be more, a lot more open and free and familiar with you. So if they initiate that kind of exchange with you, then that's fine. Then you go along with it. But not from our side, that we're just like, hey Maharaj, how's it going? But you're not going to do that anyway, so...
Just because things are little, like, even with the WhatsApp conversations with, like, the guy who's setting up the Yatra, like, he sent out, what was it, something,
it was quite strict.
Yeah, it was like Hare Krishna, something, Dandivat, something, so essentially the words for basically lying down and offering obeisances.
Oh, yeah, like, please accept my obeisances.
Yeah, in every single communication and stuff, and I was like, wow, okay, I'm going to have to check myself.
Yeah, really just like, what's up, man? Yeah, it's like that. Like, there's a culture in Krishna consciousness like that. But you can see we're here also. It's like, it's very natural as well. It's not like, you know.
But it was just anything in particular. I want to make sure that I do everything.
Yeah, but Krishna Arjun will help you. He'll be there, and you can. From observing, you'll see. But you'll pick it up. But yeah, those are the main things. When you're with a great soul, be humble, submissive in front of them, ask lots of questions, and try and do some service for them. That's very nice, and then everything will come from that.
How can we maintain the mood which we develop in these spiritual places when we come back to life?
How can we? So you get all this inspiration, you get all this enthusiasm, and then how do you maintain it when you come back? Any thoughts on that?
Well, first thing is seeing to the eyes of scriptures. Second is association with advanced devotees. You always maintain the association with advanced devotees. And from that you get mercy to see things properly. And it's the third one is not trying not to maintain too many material attachments. I mean, material attachment blocks your vision on the spiritual path.
Yeah. So it's like when you come back from the dham, you're enthused, you're inspired. Mm. So the only way you're going to maintain and continue that inspiration and enthusiasm is if you up your game spiritually.
So, yeah.
So like he's saying, like be more, take more advantage of association, take your spiritual practices up to the next level, take your reading up to the next level. And when you carry on growing in Krishna consciousness, then you'll be able to maintain. But if you have inspiration and you have enthusiasm, but you don't translate it into a tangible change in your life, then eventually that inspiration and enthusiasm will also gradually begin to fade away. So whenever we have inspiration and enthusiasm, we should act on it and make it or use it to create a tangible change to our life, our daily life, by being more absorbed spiritually.
Mm.
And then you'll basically be able to maintain it.
Mm.
Otherwise it's like, oh, I went Mayapur and then I come back and it's just like, okay, back to normal now. Same person. No! You should never come back from the dham the same person. You should come back a changed person.
Mm.
And a changed person means a person who's tangibly doing more in their spiritual life, in their Krishna consciousness.
Mm. The other thing is you have to cultivate a higher taste, right?
Yeah.
You cultivate a higher taste through chanting and reading Bhagavatam and associating with advanced devotees. Then you find the other things become less and less.
Also, there's many Gaudiya Vaishnava samadhis in Mayapur. Is it advisable to learn the Pranam mantras?
Yeah, so for everyone, that basically every saint in our tradition has a Pranam mantra. So a Pranam mantra means a verse which explains their specific glories. So for example, we say Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. You know, like that, Srila Prabhupada's one. So in his Pranam mantra, it glorifies him that he was able to preach Krishna consciousness in the Western world. That was his unique quality. So every Pranam mantra of every saint has their unique quality. So it's nice to memorize those if you can, because then it shows you what you can learn from every acharya. So from like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, we learn renunciation, because in his Pranam mantra it says Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye, which means he was the embodiment of renunciation. So he was so deeply renounced, he couldn't, you know, someone gave him some rupees donation. And he came back to the person some hours later. He said, take this donation back. He said, the weight of this money is too much for me to bear. I can't hold it. I don't know how you are holding so many thousands of pounds. I can't even carry the weight of this coin. It's too much for me. He was someone who was chanting in the lavatory. He said, I can tolerate the smell of stool and urine, but I can't tolerate the smell of people's material desires. I mean, it's difficult to relate to that level of renunciation. Tomorrow in Japa time, you find someone in the toilet like But he was just wanting to go away, he just wanted to be away from everyone, like completely aloof. So we pray to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji that let us also have some renunciation, have some detachment. Okay, we're not going to become like that, but let us actually have the spirit of renunciation and detachment. So if you learn the Pranam mantra and then you go in front of the Samadhi, then what it does is it helps you to focus on what is the glory of this person and what can I pray to them for that will help me in my spiritual life. like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his unique quality was that he was just bold. He was just bold. And he was ready to challenge anyone. To the extent that he was speaking out against people who were cheating, and people were ready to assassinate him. People were trying to kill him because he was just speaking out against all these bogus people that no one else was exposing. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it got so bad that he had to get a bodyguard. So he had this bodyguard that 7 foot tall, his name was Mocha Singh. And in the biography it said, this guy was so big, his bodyguard, that in one sitting he could eat 26 chapatis. And then one time the police, they came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and they said, you know what, Swamiji? People are coming to us, giving us money to basically finish you off, to shoot you down. They said, look, Swamiji, it's not that we don't take bribes and kill people. That's our business. But we're not going to do it to you because we can see you're a saintly person. But all we're saying is, be careful. People are out to kill you. One time they were in a program and there were all these people outside who were rioting, like, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was exposing cheaters. And the only way Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur could get out is he had one disciple, a Grihastha. So you know what they did, right?
Change.
Switch clothes.
Really, switch clothes.
He said, let me go in white. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went in white. And he took the saffron, Bhaktisiddhanta, whoosh, got out without anyone noticing him. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was just bold. He said, like, I use the chopper technique. I just chop. So that was different, you know. Srila Prabhupada was also strong, but very soft in many ways as well. So each acharya has his own personality and his own unique quality. So when you learn the pranam mantra, then you learn the unique qualities of every sadhu, saintly person. So it's nice to learn it if you can. Anyway, that was a long answer. I could have just said, yes, learn it. So yeah, learn it, but then I just give you a little bit of the logic why it's important.
Before the next question, I should ask, how are you?
Yeah, 4:20. We go for like 10 minutes. Is that okay? 5-10 minutes. Whatever. If there's any more questions,
Our theme for the trip is deepening friendships and loving relationships by learning about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Is there anything you can maybe share about, or something we can think about to focus on the theme as well?
Yeah, Lord Chaitanya and his associates were all very, very different. But they were all great friends as well. Friendship doesn't mean that we're all the same. But friendship means that our purpose is to have Krishna in the center, and on that basis we're friends. Prabhupada in the center, Mahaprabhu in the center, Krishna in the center. But individually you are maybe all different people. I mean, Harsh is the only one going to walk in here with two different color socks. I mean, he's a unique guy. You know? That's Harsh, you know? It's good. Don't worry, we want you to be like that. Just make sure it's not one white and one saffron. You know that there's this pastime where, like, okay, you have Advaita Acharya, yeah? So Advaita Acharya is 50 years older than Mahaprabhu. So he's his senior. But remember, he was the one that called Mahaprabhu to the world.
Yeah.
Right? So Mahaprabhu appears. So like Advaita Acharya is 50 years old, Mahaprabhu appears. Now what happens is that Advaita knows this kid ain't no kid. That's God. So although he's 50 years older, he's offering like respect, like, oh, Mahaprabhu, you are the supreme person. But what's happening is that Mahaprabhu knows this is Advaita Acharya, he's my senior. So Mahaprabhu is always offering respects. No, you're my senior, you're my senior. Because he's appearing in the mood of a devotee. So he's so Advaita Acharya is just like, I don't like being honored by Mahaprabhu. That's intolerable for me. So he says, I want Lord Chaitanya to chastise me. So one day he makes this plan. He decides, you know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to start speaking a philosophy that Mahaprabhu is going to get really angry when he hears I'm speaking this philosophy. What's that philosophy? Mayavad, impersonalism. Merge, everything's one. So you can go today to the Shantipur. So actually, note this down. When you come from Mayapur back to Calcutta, just give the taxi driver a few extra rupees and say, just stop at Shantipur. So you, it's on the way to the airport. And then he'll stop at Shantipur. Because that's where Advaita Acharya stayed. It's a beautiful place. You should go there. So one day in Shantipur, Advaita Acharya starts lecturing. And everything is one. And we are God. And you are God. And of course, he doesn't believe in it. But he's... So news reaches Navadvip to Mahaprabhu. Everyone, everyone, Advaita Acharya is speaking Mayavad. Mahaprabhu's like, Mayavad? Advaita Acharya? This is Advaita Acharya who is respecting like anything. He's like, how's that possible? No, I don't believe it. So Mahaprabhu jumps into the Ganga, he swims, gets all the way to Shantipur, goes running into the place where Advaita Acharya is lecturing, and then he goes right in front of Advaita Acharya. And he basically says to him, what is higher, the personal form or the impersonal? And Advaita Acharya just looks at him straight and he goes, everything is Brahman. And then Mahaprabhu gets so angry that he pulls Advaita Acharya, who is 50 years older than him, he pulls him, drags him off the Vyasasan, throws him on the ground and starts beating him. So now there's this amazing scene. Advaita Acharya is in ecstasy, although he's getting beaten up. This is what I always wanted, you know. I always wanted Mahaprabhu to just treat me like a, you know, he's the Supreme Lord. So Advaita Acharya is in complete ecstasy. Mahaprabhu is completely angry. He's just like, Mayavad, how can you speak Mayavad? Behind Mahaprabhu is Nityananda, and he's like dancing. Like, this is an ecstatic scene I've never experienced. Advaita Acharya's wife is Sita Devi. She's behind Nityananda, and she's crying. She's like, Mahaprabhu, stop, you're going to kill him. So she's crying. And then behind Sita Devi is Haridas Thakur. He's just chanting his rounds. It's like in this one scene, you got like all these different personalities, and they're all like totally spiritually pure, but it's such different people, just different emotions. So, like, what's really important to realize in Mahaprabhu's friendships is that it's not that everyone is the same, but everyone has Krishna in the center. Prabhupada in the center. So like all of you becoming better friends, the way you become better friends is number one, by knowing each other better and by knowing that each one of you are different personalities with different qualities. And the way you really become close is to say that we're all in it together to try and serve Krishna together, to try and do something amazing for Prabhupada together. And through that kind of connection with Krishna in the center, you really become good friends like that. So, yeah. So while you're in Mayapur, it's like you are. Thank you, Srinivas Guru. Srinivas Guru, okay. So while you're in Mayapur, maybe I'll end on this point as well. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And he wants the holy name to go to every town and village. So while you're in Mayapur, pray together that please empower me, Mahaprabhu, to become a better servant of the movement. And please give us the intelligence by which we can understand how we can reach people better and share this beautiful message of Krishna with others better. Because the best way to get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is by spreading the holy name as far as wide as we can, you know. So go to Mayapur also in that spirit to pray for the empowerment to serve better in the Krishna consciousness movement. Thank you. Wish you the best.
Thank you so much.
And look forward to hearing how it goes when you guys get back. Maybe we have another session.
Mm, yeah.
And you can tell me how it was. You know, Prabhupada.